of Proverbs 30, starting at verse number 24. And I have no doubt that Brother Ross has brought this message maybe several times. And the thoughts that I'll give you today, I want to say, I don't know everything about these verses, and I've just tried to make a little outline here of these four little creatures that are not only wise, but God says they are exceeding wise. I mean, God said they're wiser than wise. And I don't know about you, but I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I used to be a principal of a Christian school for 17 years. My life now is divided into two categories. I was in full-time service anyway. I was an assistant pastor and principal of a Christian school for 17 years, but now I've been an evangelist for 18 years. And so 35 years I've been in full-time service for the Lord. And maybe 36, I was an assistant pastor a little while before I became the principal at our church in Kentucky. But I've been serving God, been preaching over 40 years. My wife and I have been singing together over 40 years. And when you hear us, you'll secretly think, boy, it looks like they'd learn how to sing by now, over 40 years. But we do the best we can. And we're going to make a joyful noise anyway. But, you know, as I study the Bible, there are some passages that just kind of reach out and grab me. And this is one of them. I pray for wisdom every day. And I go to God's book of wisdom every day. And I say, dear God, I need wisdom. But I'd be foolish to pray for wisdom and not go to the book of wisdom, would I not? And so I read some in Proverbs. Some read a chapter every day, and that is a great idea. That's a great idea. Go through the book of Proverbs every month. But I don't do that. It's a great idea, and I don't knock anybody that does. But when I read Proverbs, I realize this is concentrated wisdom. You know, like orange juice that's concentrated. You don't open that can and drink it. You mix it with water because it's concentrated. And this is concentrated wisdom. And I try to absorb as much as I can. I may only read 5 verses. I may only read 10 verses in Proverbs. But a lot of times I like to pray those verses back to God. Like, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And I like to say, Lord, help me. Help me to trust in you with all my heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Oh God, help me not to lean to my own understanding. And so that's how I read Proverbs, slowly. But, you know, in the course of a year, I will go through it a few times. But I love Proverbs, and I love this passage about these four little creatures. And we start out with the ants. Let's just read the whole passage, verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, at least not compared to us. An ant is not strong. You can step on an ant and his life is over. But there are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Now, usually I run out of time. By the time I get to the spider, I'm out of time. But I do want to ask this because there's invariably somebody in every congregation that will fit this description. Who in here likes spiders? Would you raise your hand if you like spiders? All right, here they are. Here they are, the weird people. They like spiders. Just the thought of a spider makes my skin crawl. And when I see one in our house, if I have to, I'm getting rid of that. If I have to use a double-barreled shotgun, that spider's not going to live in my house. And I don't like to be around them, but I always find some people who like them. And you know, the truth of the matter, they've gotten a bum rap. Most of them are not poisonous. Most of them will not hurt you. But they're just so creepy. I don't want them around. And yet I was visiting in a home one time, And here I am. I'm the man of God. I've come to this home to tell these people how to get to heaven, the plan of salvation. I've got my King James Bible, and I want to tell these people something spiritual. And this boy, about 12 years old, walks out with a tarantula on his arm. And that's his pet. And he looks at me and he says, "You want to hold it?" I said, "Son, I'm a man of God here. I'm handling the word of God. We don't have time for such things." No, I didn't say that, but I said a quick no. No, thank you. No, thank you. And that same house, there was an iguana, a big iguana running loose somewhere. And I was watching out for that thing. But anyway, I usually don't get to the spiders, but I wanted to find out who in here. I probably will be able to make two or three statements about them. But we'll start out with the ants. That's where God starts. He said, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." And God says these ants, these little bitty creatures, are exceeding wise. Exceeding wise. And so I put down, these ants are wise because of preparation. They're wise because they know how to prepare. Wise because they know the winter's coming, and they better make hay while the sun shines. They better fill up their nest with food and get everything in order, because the time's coming that they won't even be able to get out of their anthill because there'll be ice and snow. And so they are preparing their meat in the summer. They're looking ahead. They are what the Bible calls prudent. And you find that word all through Proverbs. And when I read that word, I say, "God, help me to be prudent." That means you're able to look ahead. You're able to foresee what might happen. You think about not just what's happening, but what will happen if I do this? What will happen if I go down this road? What will happen if I make this decision? And that's a gift from God of wisdom, to be able to look ahead and consider the consequences of our actions. And the ants have that. They look ahead. They see what's coming, and they prepare. And so I want to say we need to prepare. If we want to be wise in the eyes of God, we need to prepare. Number one, prepare for each day. Prepare for each day. Don't just get up in the morning, drink a little coffee, swallow a little breakfast, eat a donut, and rush out into the world. Spend some time with God. Every morning of your life, get up and meet with God in the morning. I can't tell you anything that'll help you more. I can't tell you anything that will help you more in your Christian life than to get up out of that bed and meet with God in the morning. Read some Bible. Get on your knees and spend some time in prayer. Praise God for a little while and make your requests known to God. Meet with God. Moses went up and met with God for 40 days. When he came down off the mountain, his face was shining. His face was shining. He had been with God. My friend, we need to go out into this world. Your face may not glow like his did. I believe it was really a glow, a supernatural glow. But we ought to go out to meet the day with the glow of God on our face, the joy of the Lord, a sparkle in our eye, a spring in our step. We've been with God. And ask God to lead us throughout the day. Meet with God in the morning. Would you say that with me? Meet with God in the morning. Say it again. Meet with God in the morning. I'm doing that. If you don't obey my voice, maybe you'll obey your own. Meet with God in the morning. I hope it gets planted deep in your mind and in your heart. Get up in the morning and talk to the Lord. You say, "Brother Epley, I'm not a morning person. I'm not a morning person." Join the club. I'm not either. I'm a night owl, but I'm not a morning person. But I realize this. I've got to get up in the morning. I've got to get up early enough to spend some time with God in His Word. And my friend, you say, "Well, I've got to drive a long way to work. I'm limited in my time." Hey, they got this. If you have an iPhone, you can get the Bible. Listen to the Bible while you drive down the road. It's better than Rush Limbaugh. It's better than Sean Hannity. It's better than Beck. It's better than all that. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to Alexander Scorby. Read the King James Bible. And if you don't have an iPhone, you can buy for $49 a little device called an iBible. Get it from the Sword of the Lord. and just press a button and here comes the King James Bible and drive down the road. But meet with God in the morning. Prepare for each day. Do you ever think about this? Every day that we have is a miniature life. In life, we have youth. Then we have middle age. Then we have the senior years. Then we have death. Think about it. The morning is like the youth of the day. Then we have midday. It's like middle age. And then we have the afternoon like the senior years. Then we go to sleep, and it's like death. Every day is a miniature life. Don't waste it. Don't waste a day. Start the day with God. Meet with God in the morning. And these ants, they are wise because they prepare. Listen, prepare, young people, prepare for the ministry. Prepare for the ministry. You say, I don't have a ministry. Well, you should have. And God wants to give you one, but you need to get prepared for that. Think about this quote. And you that are not teenagers, you that are adults today, you need to prepare. You need to prepare to be better in the ministry, to be more effective for God. The best way we can prepare is know this book. Know this book. Memorize this book. I'm in my 60s. I'm still trying to memorize. It's not as easy. I'm 63. When I was 36, it was a lot easier to memorize. We had a Christian school. I'd memorize those verses right along with the students. I can still memorize, but it just doesn't want to stick there like it once did. But I still try. And I still am trying to memorize the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, study the Word of God. The more you know about this Bible, the more God can use you. And know the book. Prepare by reading and studying the Bible. Prepare for the ministry. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When we meditate day and night in the Word of God. Prepare, prepare. Young people, prepare for marriage. There may be some that are not teenagers, not yet married. Not yet married, still waiting on God. Maybe in your 30s. We have young people like that in our church. In their 30s, not married yet, still waiting on God. But prepare for marriage. Prepare for marriage. You young ladies, learn how to cook. Learn how to iron. Learn how to wash. You young men, learn some things about marriage. Learn how to treat a lady and learn how to make a living. But you girls, you really do need to learn how to cook. That's important. That's important. There'll be arguments in your marriage if you don't learn how to cook. There will. The man said, I wish you could make biscuits like my mama. And his young wife said, I wish you could make dough like my dad. But you can. So young men, you learn how to make dough. You learn how to make a living, amen? Don't just be a bum. And you realize when you get married, you've got a wife and a family to support and get some wisdom about you. And you young ladies learn how to make biscuits, all right? That'll help you a lot. Get prepared for marriage. You know what? We ought to get prepared for church. I remember one time we sang at Marion Avenue Baptist Church, and Pastor Larry Brown was our pastor at the time, and he went to the pulpit and he said something profound. He said, you know what? You can only receive as much truth as your heart is prepared to receive. I thought, that's deep. People go to church and they may leave and say, I didn't get much today. Did you prepare any? Did you come to church prepared? Did you pray about the service? Did you say, God, speak to me? God, help our preacher, help our teacher today. Did you get prepared, come to church prepared? We need to do that. Good idea to have prayer before you come to church and pray about the service and pray for your preacher. Pray for one another. Then prepare for satanic attacks. They are coming, my friend. They are coming. I've been preaching a message, Brother Jerry, called New Levels, New Devils. It is so true. It is so true. New levels, new devils. Just as sure as you make up your mind, I'm going to step up to a new level. I'm going to do a little bit more for God. You will be attacked. You will. Well, I've got so many illustrations I'd like to give, but I don't have time. But I got to give this one. I got a call yesterday from Alejandro. Alejandro lives just above Iowa City. He's from Honduras, speaks pretty good English. And we went by his house one Thursday night about 2 years ago, and Alejandro got saved. I mean, he got born again. He became a new creature. And you know what? Everybody who gets saved becomes a new creature. Did you know that? Everybody who gets saved, you say, well, I know somebody, they didn't become a new creature. They probably didn't get saved. You know what? You become a new creature. Doesn't mean everything in your life changes immediately, but some things will. Well, when I got saved, I wanted to read the Bible. When I got saved, I wanted to go to church. I didn't want to before. Some things will change. Alejandro became a new creature. And he came to church, I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, brought his wife, his family. They got in. And then Alejandro, we run 10 buses. But our pastor and our bus director, they're constantly saying, we need bus drivers. We need bus workers. We need them. And Alejandro, one day the light bulb came on and he said, I want to be a bus driver. I want to be a bus driver. And I remember he went and took his CDL, didn't pass. Went back, took it again, he made it. And then he was on his way to being a bus driver for the Marion Avenue Baptist Church. And I went to church one Wednesday night and Alejandro's face was pretty long. He was sad. He was upset. And we went into another room and we talked. And he really confides in me. And I don't know what happened, but somebody had offended him. Somebody said something, did something that really hurt his feelings. And he said, you know, I think I'm not going to drive a bus. I've just give up on that idea. I'll do something else. I said, Alejandro, could I explain something to you? And you teenagers, listen to this, because here you are, thank God, on a Sunday morning and in the house of God. And, you know, some of you, you don't even have a Christian home. You don't even have a Christian mom and dad, but you took it on yourself to come to church. But there's a devil who wants to stop you. And I said to Alejandro, I said, could I explain something to you? I said, in the Christian life, let me explain this. New levels, new devils. You are moving up to a new level. If you drive a bus, you will keep people out of hell. If you drive a bus, then you're going to be responsible for people being in heaven someday. You'll be the human instrument that God uses to get people to the house of God where they can hear the gospel and get saved. And it's a wonderful ministry. You're going to see some lives changed because you drove that bus, but the devil doesn't want you to do it. And Alejandro, the devil, old Satan, when you got saved, he put a devil on your case and said, stop him from being baptized, but he couldn't do it. Stop him from going to church, at least Sunday morning, at least Sunday night. Don't let him go Sunday night or Wednesday night, but he couldn't do it. I said, now you've stepped up to a new level to be a bus driver for God. And I said, the devil called a more powerful demon and said, stop that man. Stop him. Don't let him drive that bus. My friend, I am not exaggerating. He stared at me just like this. At least that long. It scared me. And then the next words out of his mouth, he said, you have helped me. You've helped me. And today he's a bus driver for the Marion Avenue Baptist Church and seeing people saved and seeing lives changed, filling up a bus 30 miles away from our church. New levels, new devils. So get ready. Get ready. You say, how do you get ready for satanic attacks? Amen. How did Jesus fight the devil? He quoted three verses to the devil, gave him two black eyes and a bloody nose, and sent him on his way. Know the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Be filled with the Spirit. Be so close to the Lord. That brings me to my next point, these conies. These conies are exceeding wise. Why are they exceeding wise? What makes a coney? First of all, what is a coney? One time I was preaching near Cincinnati. I said, I'll give a cash prize to anybody who can tell me what a coney is. And a 12-year-old boy said, a hot dog with chili on it. Cincinnati, skyline, that's their area, conies. I begrudgingly called the boy up and gave him a dollar. It was cash. But anyway, a coney is a little animal, a lot like a rabbit. A lot like a rabbit. I've read different definitions. But mainly it's a furry little animal that is defenseless. It does not have the sharp claws. It does not have the sharp teeth. It can't fight. It's no match for a coyote. It's no match for a fox. It's no match for a wolf. And so the coney realizes they have to do something. First of all, they're wise because they realize what they are. They realize their weakness. And they realize, I'm no match for that coyote. And he's after me. And you'd be very wise if you realize who you are. And realize what you are. And realize how weak you really are. And how much you need Jesus. And how much you need this book. And how much you need church. And how much you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And these conies, they realize their weakness. And then what do? They hide in the rocks. They make their houses back in the rocks. And the old coyote comes by, the fox comes by, and they look back in there in that crevice. They can see them, but they can't get to them. They're hidden back in that rock. And so I write down this: there's great wisdom in depending on a rock for your protection. There's great wisdom in that. Depend on the rock. Depend on. I'm moving your pulpit around here, brother. I didn't know I was that strong, but anyway. Think about it. Did you ever hear that song? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. I like that song. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's our rock. Moses knew him as a rock. He said, he is the rock. His work is perfect. Moses said, their rock is not as our rock. Amen. Nobody like Jesus. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, said, there's none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And David, now David knew something about hiding. David had to hide from King Saul. And because Saul and his army were out to kill David out of sheer jealousy. And David had to learn how to hide in the caves and the rocks of Judea. Around Bethlehem. David knew how to hide, and he wrote so many verses about it. Think about this. All these, David, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. I flee unto thee to hide me. David knew he had to hide, not only from Saul, but from the devil. The devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We better learn how to hide ourselves in Jesus. And I prayed last night. I said, dear God, help me. Please help me to get this across. How do we hide in Jesus? By the way, David wrote this psalm, Psalm 18, verse number 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. That's what David thought of God. That's how David viewed God. By the way, that's why David was willing to fight Goliath. Nobody else wanted to fight Goliath. Nobody else would go out and fight that giant. You know why? Because they had been looking at that giant for 40 days. They had been out there on the hillside looking at Goliath for 40 days as he came out and made his challenge. And you know what? He got bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, he was almost 10 feet tall. If he was standing here under a basketball goal, there'd be about that much of his head beneath. He'd be about that much shy of a basketball goal. He was that huge. Standing there making his challenge. But as they looked at him, he just got bigger and bigger. And you know what? That's true for all of us. The more you look at your problem, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. We better keep our eyes on God. So here comes David, not a little boy like some pictures picture him. He was not a little boy. He was a young man. But he was certainly not a big, strong, mighty armed soldier. He was a shepherd. But he came out there and he was willing to fight Goliath. You know why? It's this simple. While all those Israelites were looking at Goliath, David had been out on the hillside looking at God. The heavens declare the glory of God. He had been out there praising God. He'd been out there playing his harp, which a guitar is much like a harp, which I'll play in just a little while. But out there praising God and looking at God and saying and writing these psalms, "The Lord is my rock." And so he was willing to go out. So what does it mean to hide ourselves in Jesus? Stay close to him. Abide in him. Learn how to trust in him. And learn how to run to him. When the devil comes knocking at the door, don't you answer the door. Let Jesus answer the door. And learn how to hide in the rock. And these little conies, God says they're exceeding wise. They're beyond wise because they realize their own frailty. And they know they cannot make it in their own power. And they cannot defend themselves. So they depend on the rock. My friend, we need to do that. Now I move quickly to the locust. The locust. Is that clock right, Brother Jerry? Oh, I was hoping you'd say it's 5 minutes fast. Anyway, I've got 5 minutes here. The locusts. Think about it. They have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Now that word band, you look it up, and it means ranks. They go forth by ranks, or they go forth like an army. They stay together. Since we're in church, let's put it like this. Those locusts, they go forth as a congregation. They stay together. They know their strength in numbers, their strength in staying together. One locust, one or two locusts is no match for anybody. I mean, you just step on them. That's it. Fly, big fly swat, and they're done. But a swarm of locusts, they'll take over a whole community. And so God says these locusts are wise because they stay together. And all I want to say to you today is stay in the congregation. Stay in the don't get out of church. Young men, don't get out of church. Don't take a job that'll take you out of church. Not even on Wednesday night. Don't do it. Don't get out of church, young ladies. Don't take a job that'll make you miss church. Don't do it. Don't do it. I know. People say, well, you got to make a living. I know that. But I also know there's a God in heaven. And he commands us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. God tells us, be in church, be in church. And so God's able to give you a job. God's able to give you a livelihood where you won't have to miss the house of the Lord. That may offend somebody, but I believe it's the truth. And you young people, please take heed to that. Stay in church. Don't let anything get you out of church. And so the ants are wise because of preparation. The conies are wise because of fortification. They fortify themselves in the rock. The locusts are wise because of congregation. They stay together. And then the spider. The spider. Why is the spider wise? It says, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Notice it says her hands. Why does it say her hands? Well, because she ate her husband. That's exactly right. You ever hear of a black widow? You know why she's a widow? She ate her husband. It's the truth. They have this big sack full of eggs and they watch over that, and when all that's done, all those youngins are born, they need some protein, so they eat their husband. It's a gory thing, but what does it mean when it says she taketh hold with her hands? Now, there may be different opinions, and I want to, Brother Jerry, please, if you have another opinion on this, I want you to tell me. But when it says she taketh hold with her hands, and she's in king's palaces, this is my thought. Why is a spider allowed to be in a king's palace? They've got maids, they've got butlers, they've got janitors cleaning that place, and they don't want any cobwebs in there. And yet, you'll find a spider there in a king's palace. And here's my thought, because that spider is absolutely determined to be there. You can tear that web down, next day there'll be another one there. They're determined. I believe they're wise because of their determination. There's something wise about just making up your mind. I'm going this way and I'm not turning that way. I'm not turning that way. I'm going with God. I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to stay with this King James Bible. I'm staying with the right kind of music. I'm not going to listen to rock. I'm not going to listen to country. I'm not going contemporary. I'm determined to stay in the old paths. God says there's wisdom there. There's wisdom about a determination. Our Savior was determined. The Apostle Paul was determined. And there's wisdom in that. Just making up your mind. We sang that song. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, when old Satan comes a-knocking, showing me an easier way, I look him square in the eye. I hold my head in the air. I plant my feet on the ground. And I say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Determination. There it is. Preparation. Fortification. Congregation. Determination. All that equals a whole lot of wisdom, my friend. Father, I pray you'd take the word of God. Lord, use it today. Plant it in these hearts today. Not only the young people, oh, they need it. Not only fill their hearts with the word of God, but these adults, Lord, we all need it, Lord. Help us to be wise. In Jesus' name, amen.